بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الصلاة والسلام على أشرف أنبياء الله سيد المرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، أما بعد. As for what follows after praising Allah, asking Him to raise the rank of His Messenger Muhammad and that of His family and companions, and to grant them all peace, we say that Allah Ta'ala has blessed us to come back together at Masjid Al-Masjid Al-Awwal in Pittsburgh on this eve of the 14th day of Sha'ban, 1436. And we begin asking Allah Ta'ala for success with a new surah, Surah Al-Hadid. Surah Al-Hadid. And of course we are reading from the tafsir of the great scholar of tafsir, fiqh, and other sciences of Islam, Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala, may Allah ta'ala have mercy on him. And he said on page 357 of the printed tafsir, which is a transcription of his live lessons that he gave in tafsir of these surahs, and this is the last surah from this printing or this volume, which begins with Surah Al-Hujurat and includes the surahs from Surah Al-Hujurat all the way to Al-Hadid, Al-Hadid being the last one. The Shaykh begins saying, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, Ar-Rahman, one of his names having to do with mercy, the mercy that is all-encompassing for Muslims and non-Muslims in this life. Ar-Rahim, the All-Merciful, the one whose mercy extends exclusively to the believers in the hereafter. وَكَانَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَحِيمًا. And he was, and he is, as it relates to the believers, Rahim, a possessor of mercy, a bestower of mercy. The Shaykh says, تَقَدَّمَ الْكَلَامُ عَلَيْهَا. The speech regarding the Basmala has already preceded, meaning in the beginning of many of the surahs that have come before this surah. And the Shaykh would mention that the statement Bismillahi is connected to an action. And that action that it's connected to in this case, when reading the Qur'an, is أقرأ, I read. So it's Bismillahi أقرأ, in the name of Allah أقرأ, I read. And when we say Bismillahi before eating, it is Bismillahi أكلُ, in the name of Allah, I eat. And if you drink something and you say Bismillah, then the meaning is Bismillahi ashrabu, in the name of Allah, I drink, and so on. Naam. Sabbaha lillahi ma fis samawati wal ard. Everything in the heavens and on earth exonerates Allah. Wa huwa al-aziz wal-hakim. And He is the possessor of honor and the possessor of authority and wisdom. Ma'na sabbaha, the Shaykh says, the meaning of sabbaha is ay nazzaha Allah, that Allah is exonerated, azza wa jal, the mighty and majestic, an kulli aybin wa naqsin, above every type of defect or deficiency, wa an mumathalat al makhluqin, and He is exonerated above resembling the creation. وَدَلِيلُ تَنَزُّهِهِ عَنْ كُلِّ عَيْبٍ وَنَقْسٍ. And the evidence for Him being exonerated above every type of defect or deficiency, قَوْلُ اللَّهِ تَبَارَكُ وَتَعَالَى, the statement, it is the statement of Allah the Blessed and Most High, وَلَقَدِ خَلَقُنَا السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا فِي سِتَّةِ أَيَّامٍ وَمَا مَسَّنَا مِنْ لُغُوبٍ. Verily we have created the heavens and the earth and all that lies within them in 6 days, and no lughub touched us, meaning no fatigue touched us. Wal lughub, the Shaykh explains, the word lughub is يعني التعب والإعياء, it is tiring and fatigue. وَهَذَا يَدُلُّ عَلَى كَمَالِ قُوَّتِهِ, and this is something that shows the perfection of His strength, Azza wa Jal, the mighty and majestic. وَقَالَ تَعَالَى, and Allah the Most High has said, in that first verse that I mentioned to you, وَلَقَدْ خَلَقَنَا السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, was from Surah Qaf, the 38th verse. وَقَالَ تَعَالَىٰ, and Allah the Most High, He says, أَمْ يَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّا لَا نَسْمَعُ سِرَّهُمْ وَنَجْوَاهُمْ, or do they assume, or do they think that we do not hear their secrets, and their private counsel? بَلَا وَرُسُلُنَا لَدَيْهِمْ يَكْتُبُونَ, nay, it is our messengers who are amongst them writing down. That's from Surah Az-Zukhruf, the 80th verse. وَقَالَ تَعَالَى وَمَا اللَّهُ بِغَافِلٍ عَمَّا تَعْمَلُونَ, and Allah is not heedless about all that you do. That's from Surah Al-Baqarah and other verses in the Qur'an, but from Surah Al-Baqarah, the 74th verse. And there's a verse in Surah Ali Imran as well with that same phrase. فَنَزَّهَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى نَفْسَهُ عَنِ الْغَفْلَةِ, so Allah Ta'ala declared Himself exonerated above heedlessness. وَقَالَ تَعَالَى, and Allah the Most High has said, وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُعْجِزَهُ مِنْ شَيْءٍ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَلَا فِي الْأَرْضِ, and there is nothing that is beyond Allah's capability in the heavens nor upon earth. إِنَّهُ كَانَ عَلِيمًا قَدِيرًا, verily He is all-knowing and all-capable. From Surah Al-Fatir, the 44th verse. فَنَزَّهَ نَفْسَهُ عَنِ الْعَجِزِ, and so He has exonerated Himself above incapability or inability to do something. وَدَلِيلُ تَنَزُّهِهِ عَنْ مُمَاثَلَةِ الْمَخْلُوقِينَ, the evidence to say that Allah is exonerated above resembling the creation is قَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى, is His statement, and He is the Most High, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ, and there is nothing like Him while He is the all-hearing and the all-seeing. From Surah Ash-Shura, the 11th verse. And just as a note here, these are important verses and these are important ways to understand the phrase Subhanallah. All of this connects to our statement, Subhanallah. When you exonerate Allah by saying Subhanallah, exonerated or exalted be Allah, above what? Beyond what? When you say, I exalt Allah above something, then these are the meanings that are included in that statement when you say Subhanallah. Above what? I exalt Allah above being fatigued or tired in everything that He has done. I exalt Allah above being heedless or unaware of certain things. I exalt Allah above and beyond incapabilities or limits to His capability and power. I exalt Allah above resembling His creation. All of these matters are things that you exalt Allah above when you say the simple phrase, Subhanallah. And that is all connected to the beginning of the surah, سَبَّحَ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, everything in the heavens and on earth makes this tasbih, says Subhanallah about Allah, that Allah is exonerated, right? So the Shaykh is giving us very beautiful details about what it means to say Allah is exonerated, meaning above so many different ideas. وَأَثْبَتَ اللَّهُ لِنَفْسِهِ, the Shaykh continues, may Allah have mercy on him, Allah has also affirmed for Himself وَجْهًا, a face, فِي قَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى, in His statement, and He is the Most High, وَيَبْقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ, and there shall remain the face of your Lord, the possessor of majesty and grace. And that's from Surah Ar-Rahman. وَأَثْبَتَ اللَّهُ لِنَفْسِهِ أَنَّهُ اسْتَوَى عَلَى الْعَرْشِ, and Allah has established for Himself that He has ascended above the throne. وَالْإِنسَانُ يَسْتَوِي عَلَى الْبَعِيرِ, here the Shaykh is trying to show you two examples of how you exonerate Allah above resembling His creation while you affirm things for Him that the creation also has. Those two things are what? The face and ascending. A person can go up on top of a mountain. He can ascend over something. And a person has a face. Allah Ta'ala is described as having a face, and He is described as ascending over His throne. But when we say Subhanallah, there's an important distinction we give Allah Ta'ala to exonerate Him above these two things or any other thing. resembling that which is in the creation. Listen closely. وَالْإِنسَانُ يَسْتَوِي عَلَى الْبَعِيرِ. And a person could get up and ascend over a mount and ride and get on a mount, meaning a riding beast. وَأَيَّرْكَبُ الْبَعِيرِ. He rides the animal. وَيَسْتَقِرُ عَلَيْهِ. And he settles on top of it. وَيَعْلُو عَلَيْهِ. And he ascends up over it. وَلَيْسَ اسْتِوَاؤُهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى عَلَى الْعَرْشِ كَاسْتِوَاءِ الْإِنسَانِ عَلَى الْبَعِيرِ. However, the ascension of Allah above the throne is not similar at all to the ascension of a person over a riding beast and his getting on top of the riding beast. What's the evidence for that? While the word is istiwa for both. The same word is used for both, right? What's the evidence for the distinction? لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. There is nothing like him. وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. And he is the all-hearing and the all-knowing. Again, that's Surah Ash-Shura, the 11th verse. فَكُلُّ صِفَةٍ يُثْبِتُهَا اللَّهُ لِنَفْسِهِ. So every attribute that Allah affirms for himself, وَلِلْمَخْلُوقِ مِثْلُهَا, while the creation has something of its name, something of that same attribute, sharing the same name, فَإِنَّ ذَلِكَ مُوَافَقَةٌ لِلِسْمِ فَقَطْ. That is only a correspondence or a likeness in the name of that attribute only. أَمَّا فِي الْحَقِيقَةِ فَلَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. As for the reality of the attribute, then there is nothing that is similar to him, meaning nothing similar to his attributes. مِثَالُ ذَلِكَ. Another example of that. أَثْبَتَ اللَّهُ لِنَفْسِهِ عِلْمًا. Another example that Allah has affirmed for himself, knowledge. وَأَثْبَتَ لِلْمَخْلُوقِ عِلْمًا. And he has affirmed for the creation as well, knowledge. Meaning the same name, the same attribute has been attributed to Allah and to the creation. However, what's the distinction? فَقَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى فَإِنْ عَلِمْتُمُوهُنَّ مُؤْمِنَاتٍ. Allah has said regarding the order to test the believing women when they come to you, if you find them to be, if you have ilm of them being mu'minat, meaning they pass the test and they affirm the correct beliefs, فَأَثْبَتَ اللَّهُ لَنَا عِلْمًا. Allah has affirmed for us, meaning for people, that we have knowledge, we have ilm. If you test them and you come to have ilm, you come to have knowledge that they are believers, وَأَثْبَتَ لِنَفْسِهِ عِلْمًا. And Allah has affirmed for himself as well, ilm, knowledge, when he said in his statement, عَلِمَ اللَّهُ أَنَّكُمْ كُنْتُمْ تَخْتَارُونَ أَنفُسَكُمْ. And Allah knew that you had been deceiving yourselves. Right? Those are from the, that's from the verses of fasting in Surah Al-Baqarah, the 187th verse. So Allah Ta'ala has mentioned that he himself is described as having al-ilm. وَلَيْسَ الْعِلْمُ الَّذِي أَثْبَتَهُ لِنَفْسِهِ كَعِلْمِ الْمَخْلُوقِ. However, the knowledge that he has affirmed for himself is dissimilar, not similar to the knowledge of his creation. وَالدَّلِيلُ. What's the evidence? قَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى. His statement, and he is the Most High. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ. There is nothing similar to him. وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. And he is the all-hearing, the all-seeing. So again, the Shaykh has mentioned this verse three times, each time connected to a different attribute to show that whatever attribute is established for Allah, it is dissimilar to attributes of the same name established for the creation. فَاللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلْ. He continues, so Allah, the Mighty and Majestic, لَا يُمْكِنُ أَن يُمَافِي لَهُ شَيْءٌ. There is nothing that could be resembling him. مِنَ الْمَخْلُوقَاتِ. From amongst the created beings. لَا فِي ذَاتِهِ. Not in his actual presence. وَلَا فِي صِفَاتِهِ. And not in his attributes. وَلِهَذَا لَا يُمْكِنُنَا أَن نُدْرِكَ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلْ. Thus, based on this, it is not even possible for us to completely comprehend Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. نَعْلَمُهُ. We know of him. بِآيَاتِهِ. By way of his ayat, by his proofs, by his evidences, from those in the Qur'an and otherwise. وَصِفَاتِهِ. And his attributes. وَأَفْعَالِهِ. And his actions. لَكِنَّا لَا نُدْرِكُ حَقِيقَتَهُ. However, we do not encompass or grasp the reality of Allah, his reality, عز وجل, the Mighty and Majestic. لِأَنَّهُ مَهْمَا قَدَّرْتَ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. Because the reality is, no matter what you estimate in any affair, فالله تعالى مخالف لما له غير مماثل. And Allah Ta'ala is not similar to that. He is in opposition to that, or His attribute does not match that, and He is not similar to it. وقوله, going back to the first verse of Al-Hadith, مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Who is it that glorifies Allah? Everything in the heavens and on earth. أي كل ما في السماوات والأرض. Every single thing in the heavens and on earth. فَإِنَّهُ يُسَبِّحُ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ وَيُنَزِّهُهُ. Everything glorifies Allah and declares Him free of deficiencies. وَيَشْمَلُ الْآدَمِي. This includes humans, وَالْجِنَّ وَالْمَلَائِكَ, and the jinn kind and the angels. وَالْحَشَرَاتِ وَالْحَيَوَانَةِ. This also includes insects and animals. Every single thing on the heavens and on earth. In the heavens and on earth. وَكُلُّ شَيْءٍ. And every single thing. فَكُلُّ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ يُسَبِّحُ اللَّهِ. Every single thing in the heavens and on earth declares Allah's perfection, or exonerates Allah. وَهَلْ يُسَبِّحُهُ بِلِسَانِ الْمَقَالِ. This is important, nice beautiful point the Shaykh brings here. Is it the case that they declare Allah exonerated? بِلِسَانِ الْمَقَالِ, meaning they actually speak. The insects, the animals, they actually declare Allah free of deficiencies and exonerated above all of the things that we've mentioned. Meaning verbally, they actually do that verbally. بِمَعْنَ يَقُولُ سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ, that they actually say سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ. أَوْ بِلِسَانِ الْحَالِ, or with the, as in Arabic, the tongue of their situation. Meaning their situation speaks in favor of this meaning. That their very existence is an exoneration of Allah Ta'ala. Right? بِمَعْنَا أَنَّ تَنْظِيمَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَالْمَخْلُوقَاتِ عَلَى مَا هِيَ عَلَيْهِ يَدُلُّ عَلَى كَمَالِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ. Or is it the case that the way of the heavens and the earth being organized, along with all the created beings, in the way that they are, all of that proves the perfection of Allah, and that Allah has no deficiencies, the mighty and majestic. وَتَنَزُّهِهِ عَنْ كُلِّ نَقْصٍ, and that He is free and exonerated above every type of deficiency. Is, which case is it? That they actually speak? Or that they, the very existence and their organization is what speaks on their behalf? Which one do you think it is, Simba? Allahu A'lam, Ahsan. Anyone have a guess? Abdullah? Huh? It's their existence, not verbally praising or exonerating Allah, but it's their existence and their organization. طيب, listen to the jawab. The Shaykh says, and jawab, the answer. أَنَّهُ يُسَبِّحُ اللَّهَ بِلِسَانِ الْحَالِ, that they exonerate Allah through their situation, وَبِلِسَانِ الْمَقَالِ, and also verbally. And also verbally. You might be saying, how is that? إِلَّا الْكَافِرِ, except for the disbeliever, from amongst the people and the jinn. These are the creation that do not verbally praise Allah or exonerates Allah. فَإِنَّهُ يُسَبِّحُ اللَّهَ بِلِسَانِ الْحَالِ لَا بِلِسَانِ الْمَقَالِ. The disbeliever, he still exonerates Allah with the speech of his situation, meaning his condition and the perfection of his creation and his provisions coming to him. All of that proves the perfection of Allah Ta'ala as his creator, and that Allah is free of any deficiencies. However, from his tongue, لِسَانِ الْمَقَالِ, he doesn't say Subhanallah. He doesn't glorify Allah. Rather, he describes Allah with what is not befitting, as the Shaykh is going to explain. لِأَنَّ الْكَافِرَ يَصِفُ اللَّهَ بِكُلِّ نَقْصٍ. Because a kafir, he describes Allah with every type of deficiency. Subhanallah. يَقُولُ اتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ وَلَدًا. He says, for example, Allah has taken a son. Disbelievers, they say that, some of them. وَيَقُولُ إِنَّ مَعَهُ إِلَهًا. And some of them say, he has a deity along with him that is deserving of worship. وَرُبَّمَا يُنْكِرُ الْخَالِقَ أَصْلًا. It's also that some people just deny a creator in totality. Atheists, pure scientific atheists, they say, what? There is no creator at all. لَكِنْ حَالُهُ وَخِلْقَتُهُ وَتَصَرُّفُهُ. However, his situation, the way he is created, the shape of his creation, and his interactions as well, تسبيح لله. All of that is by lisan al hal, something that proves that Allah is exonerated above deficiencies. Allah Azza wa Jal. وهل الحشرات والحيوانات تسبح الله بلسان المقال. Here's the question. Is it the case really that animals and insects verbally declare Allah exonerated above deficiencies? Is that the case? A person who's scientific and he has a microscope and he does lab studies and things, he'll say no. Because what? We've seen the interactions of the animals and the insects, and they don't say that Allah is above deficiencies with any language that is understandable or detectable, right? So is this the case that they actually speak and declare Allah exonerated? Al-Jawab. What's the answer? Na'am. Yes, they actually do that. قال الله تعالى, as Allah the Most High has said, وَإِن مِّن شَيْءٍ إِلَّا يُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِهِ. And there is nothing except that it declares Allah exonerated and praises Allah. وَلَكِن لَا تَفْقَهُونَ تَسْبِيحَهُمْ. However, you do not understand their tasbih. We have to admit, as human beings, our knowledge is limited. And we know that ants communicate. This is what scientists have found today. Ants communicate with each other. They send messages, they understand messages amongst each other. There is a language going on, and there is communication going on. So how can we say that they are not declaring Allah free of deficiencies? We don't know the meanings of their communication. We don't know their language. Allah has told us that there is no thing except that it declares the greatness of Allah, meaning the perfection of Allah Ta'ala. وَالْحَصَى عَفْوَانَ الْحَجَرَاتْ كُلَّهَا تُسَبِّحُ اللَّهَ بِلِسَانَ الْمَقَارِ. So that insects, all of them, declare Allah exonerated with verbal declarations. لسان المقار, the actual speech of one's tongue, or the speech of one's language. وَالْحَصَى يُسَبِّحُ اللَّهَ. And even pebbles, rocks, they declare Allah Allah above any deficiency. They exonerate Allah above deficiencies. كَمَا كَانَ ذَلِكَ بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صلى الله عليه وسلم. In the very beginning of the revelation, or before even the revelation was given to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, some historical records mentioned that the rocks and the pebbles would praise Allah Ta'ala around him. May Allah raise his rank and grant him peace. Then Allah says, وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. And he is Al-Aziz, the possessor of izzah, honor. And he is al-hakim, the possessor of both hikmah and hukum. The possessor of what? Wisdom, hikmah, and hukum, rule or authority. Al-Aziz, the shaykh says, يعني ذو العزة. The name al-Aziz means the possessor of honor. The possessor of العزة. والعزة هي, and the meaning of honor or عزة is الكبرياء والغلبة والسلطان. It means dominating, honor, valor, glory, and all of that is part of the meaning of the word izzah. Naam ya Hafiz. Wa huwa al-aziz al-hakim. Aywa. Al-aziz yani dhul izzah. Wal-izzatu hiya. Wal-izzatu hiya al-kibriya. Al-izzah hiya, it is al-kibriya wal-ghalabatu wal-sultan. You following along with the Shaykh's text? Okay, there you go. So, وَالْعِزَّةُ هِيَ كَذَا. Right, الْعِزَّةُ هِيَ كَذَا. الْكِبْرِيَاءُ وَالْغَلَبَةُ وَالسُّلْطَانُ. And I mentioned power, dominance, authority, honor, might, valor, all of that which comes from being in authority. It is the honor of authority. وَمَا أَشْبَهَ ذَلِكَ. And similar meanings. فَالْعَزِيزُ هُوَ ذُو السُّلْطَانِ. So the Aziz is the one who has authority. Al-Kamil, complete, unchallenged authority. Wal-Ghalabatu, Al-Kamila. And he has the domination, dominating authority that is unrestricted or unchallenged. فَلَا أَحَدَ يَغْلِبُهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. There is no one who could overtake Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. يَقُولُ الشَّاعِرُ الْجَاهِلِ. And the poet from the period of Jahiliyyah. The meaning of Jahiliyyah here specifically is the period just before Islam And the poetry that you're about to hear is from the reaction of the people of Mecca after the event of Abraha coming to destroy the Kaaba. And he was repelled, he was killed, him and his army were defeated by birds with baked clay. And they were sent back, and Allah Ta'ala defended the house of Allah, right, without the help of any of those people in Mecca. So one of their poets, and his name was Nufail ibn Habib, right? When he saw the way Allah Ta'ala protected the house, he said, "Aina al-mafarru wal-ilahu talibu?" Where is the refuge? Where are you going to make your firar? Where are you going to run off to? When it is the ilah, the worshipped deity, meaning Allah, that is after you, or that is requesting you. وَالْأَشْرَمُ الْمَغْلُوبُ لَيْسَ الْغَالِبَ. And Al-Ashram is a reference to Abraha, right? And he has been defeated, and he is not going to be someone who defeats others. He has been overcome, and he will not overcome anyone else on that day, right? Al-Ashram, by the way, Al-Ashram, and Abraha, interesting historical tidbit here. Abraha was the grandfather of, anyone know? You won't make this connection unless you know this historical fact. He was the grandfather of Al-Najashi from Al-Habasha, radiyallahu anhu. Najashi, the king, one of the kings of Ethiopia, right? The one who hosted the Prophet sallallahu alayhi, the one who hosted the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and honored them and accepted Islam. And he's counted from amongst the companions, with some differing, because he never actually met the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But some of the scholars said he accepted Islam in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he wished to be amongst those who would have been in the companionship of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So they counted him as a companion anyway. While they normally would say that there has to be a ru'ya or a liqa, there has to be a meeting or a seeing, a connection, like a, they have to be gathered in the same place at least once. And that didn't happen for Najashi. However, some of the scholars said for him specifically, he should be counted from the companions anyway. Either way, he's the grandson of Abraham. So you're probably saying, wait a minute, I heard Abraham was a Yemeni king, right? Christian king from Yemen. And so what's the connection? How is he the grandfather of Najashi from Ethiopia or from Al-Habasha? Originally, Abraha was from Al-Habasha. And he left Al-Habasha and came to Sana'a and took authority and power there. Ayyub, nice connection there historically, right? So this line of poetry is in reference to Abraha, who was destroyed with his army of elephants and his very powerful army, who the people of Mecca, by way of their preparations, could not have defended the Kaaba or the city of Mecca. Yet Allah Ta'ala defended his house, and that is referenced in Surah Al-Fil. The Shaykh then says, وَالْحَكِيمُ لَهَا مَعْنَيَانِ. Hakim, the word Hakim has two مَعْنَيَانِ, two meanings, two ma'nas. الْمَعْنَ الْأَوَّلُ, the first meaning, ذُو الْحِكْمَةِ. And Hakim has two meanings. The first one is the possessor of Hikmah, the one who has Hikmah. What's Hikmah? Wisdom. طيب. وَالْمَعْنَ الثَّانِي, the second meaning, ذُو الْحُكْمِ التَّامِ, the one with absolute hukum, authority, rule, right? فَهِيَ مُشْتَقَّ مِنْ شَيْئَيْن. So it is derived linguistically from two things, مِنْ الْحِكْمَةِ وَالْحُكُمْ, from wisdom and from rule. And they are inseparable as it relates to Allah being Hakim. He rules with wisdom, right? فَالْحِكْمَةُ هِيَ أَنَّ جَمِيعَ أَفْعَالِهِ وَأَقْوَالِهِ وَشَرْعِهِ حِكْمَةً. As it relates to wisdom, as an attribute of Allah, then all of His actions, all of His statements, all of His legislation is wise. All of it is full of wisdom. وَلَيْسَ فِيهِ سَفَهٌ بِأَيِّ حَالٍ مِنَ الْأَحْوَابِ. And there is no foolishness, meaning something that doesn't have wisdom, something created without a purpose or without some kind of benefit. There is no thing without any wisdom in His creation. وَلِهَذَا. Based on this, قِيلَ بِتَعْرِيفِ الْحِكْمَةِ, it's been said, offering a definition of the word hikmah, of wisdom, إِنَّهَا وَضْعُ الْأَشْيَاءِ فِي مَوَاضِعِهَا اللَّائِقَةِ بِهَا. It is to put things in their proper places. فما من شيء من أفعال الله. So there is none of the actions of Allah أو من شرع الله or any legislation of Allah إلا وله حكمة, except that it has its wisdom. فإذا قدر الله الحر الشديد الذي يهلك الثمار فهو حكمة لا شك. So if Allah had decreed from His Qadr that is going to take place on earth, that some very hot weather come that destroys some of the fruits or the crops, then there is wisdom in that, no doubt. There is wisdom in that, no doubt. وَإِذَا مَنَعَ اللَّهُ الْمَطَرُ فَهُوَ حِكْمَةٌ. And if Allah Ta'ala prevents the rain from coming down, then there is wisdom in that. And you might be saying, well, what is the wisdom? We may be able to understand the wisdom and maybe not. For sure, you say, well, when the rain is withheld, there's a drought, people die, it's a negative thing. Yet, from the way Allah Ta'ala has organized His creation, there is no negative thing, surface level negative, except there is some benefit in it. How many people turn back to Allah with sincere repentance after a drought? How many people beg Allah and turn to Allah with tawheed, with acts of worship, of monotheism, during throughout a drought? Right? So in terms of some of the benefits, we're able to grasp some of them. Not that we say we understand the hikmah of Allah in everything that He has done, but we say perhaps Allah may bless us to understand some of the wisdoms and some of the benefits behind some of these what we call qadr, kawni, acts of qadr, or things that take place in the creation from the will of Allah Ta'ala. وَإِذَا أَلْقَى اللَّهُ الْمَوْتَ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ فَهُوَ حِكْمَةٌ. If Allah Ta'ala causes the death of many people, if Allah Ta'ala takes the lives of many people, then there is a hikmah in that as well. There is a wisdom in that. وَكُلُّ شَيْءٍ فَهُوَ حِكْمَةٌ. And every single thing has a wisdom, or is done through wisdom. لِأَنَّا نَعْلَمُ أَنَّ اللَّهَ حَكِيمٌ. This all comes from us affirming the name Al-Hakim for Allah, because we know that Allah is wise. فَفَرَّقَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ بَيْنَ الْبَيْعِ وَالْرِبَى. So look at an example here. Allah has made a distinction between business and riba, and usury. Right? Usury meaning interest-based transactions, which are impermissible. He's made a distinction. Right? فَالْبَيْعُ أَحَلَّهُ اللَّهُ. So business transactions have been made permissible by Allah. وَالْرِبَى حَرَّمَهُ. And interest, usury-based transactions have been declared as impermissible. فَإِذَا قَالَ قَائِلٌ لِمَاذَا. So when a person says, why? Why has this been made halal and why has that been made haram? قُلْنَا. What do we say, Simba? Allahu A'lam. Ahsan. We say Allahu A'lam. We say Allah knows best. Allahu Hakim. We say Allah is all wise. He has wisdom. عَزَّ وَجَلَّ, the mighty and majestic. وَلِهَذَا. And thus, لَمَّا قَالَتَ الْمَرْأَةُ لِعَائِشَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهَا. And think about when this woman said to our mother Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, يَا أُمَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, O mother of the believers, مَا بَالُ الْحَائِلِ تَقْضِي الصَّوْمِ. What is this issue, or what's up with this issue, that a menstruating woman makes up her days of fasting? يعني إذا حاضت في رمضان. If she got her menses, or when she gets her menses, in the days of Ramadan. Why is it that she makes up her days of fasting? ولا تقضي الصلاة. But she doesn't make up the prayers that she missed. Right? If we think purely logically, which of the two pillars of Islam has a higher status? The Salah or the Sawm? The Salah, right? The Salah is of a higher status. Imadu Deen, it is the main pillar of the religion. So if you could say logically, put all texts aside and just say logically, free thinking, Salah is more important, right? There are texts that talk about the abandonment of the Salah being outside of Islam. Salah is such a highly mentioned thing throughout the Quran, comparatively to fasting, right, of a lesser mentioned status. So then why is it that a woman makes up the days of fasting, but what's more important is the Salah, she doesn't make those up? Logically, there's an ishkal, right? Look at Aisha's answer, right? Aisha said, سؤال فيه إشكال. Sorry, before we say Aisha said, the Shaykh said, here is a question, that has some kind of difficulty in understanding the issue presented by this questioner. لماذا الحائض إذا أفطرت في رمضان? Why is it that a woman on her menses breaks her fast in Ramadan, when she breaks her fast in Ramadan, يلزمها قضاء الصوم, she has to make up the days of fasting. وإذا تركت الصلاة لا يلزمها قضاء الصلاة. And when she leaves off the praying as well, because of the same reason, she does not make up the praying. وَكِلَاهُمَ فَرْضٌ. And they're both obligations on her. They're both obligations. And I add what I said to you, even salah being essentially more important, more highly stressed in the religion. قَالَتْ لَهَا رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهَا. Aisha said to this woman, كَانَ يُسِيبُنَا ذَلِكَ. This used to happen to us. فَنُؤْمَرُ بِقَضَاءِ الصَّوْمِ. And we would be ordered to make up the days of fasting. Meaning the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, would order us to make up the days of fasting. وَلَا نُؤْمَرُ بِقَضَاءِ الصَّلَاةِ. And we were not ordered to make up the fast. She just goes back to what the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, taught. Habib. Huh? Aywa? What did I say? Fast. Oh, okay. To repeat, Jazakallahu khayran. That used to happen to us. فَنُؤْمَرُ بِقَضَاءِ الصَّوْمِ. We would be ordered to make up the fasting days. وَلَا نُؤْمَرُ بِقَضَاءِ الصَّلَاةِ. That we would not be ordered to make up the prayers that we missed. That's from Bukhari and Muslim. One of the narrations I add here, that she said, أَحُرُورِيَّةٌ أَنْتِ. Are you a حُرُورِيَّة? What's a حُرُورِيَّة? It's a person from حُرُورَة. This is where the Khawarij came from. The Khawarij were known to put aside the texts, similar to other deviant groups, and use their intellect. So, a person would say, just logically here, why is it that we have our women make up their days in Ramadan, but we don't have them make up their, we have them make up their fasting from the days of Ramadan, but we don't have them make up their prayers. Logically, the issue is confusing. However, the issue is returning to the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Aisha's answer was pure and beautiful. That's what we've been ordered to do. That's what we've been ordered to do. If we put everything on the logical scale to be judged, we would say, sajda, why do we make sajda in salat twice and ruku only once? Well, should we try to answer that? What's your answer, Habib? Why do we make sajda in every unit of salat? We make sajda twice, but ruku only once. What's your answer? That's what Allah legislated. Allah told us how to worship Him. Allah explained how He loves to be worshipped, and that's what He told us to do. Sami'na wa ata'na. Right? Why is Fajr 2 rak'ats? And why is Dhuhr 4? Comparatively. Why is Dhuhr twice as important as Dhuhr? Or twice as, deserving of more rak'ats? Why Dhuhr 4 rak'ats? Logically, maybe I think more rak'ats should be outside of the day's work. Right? Logically. But here we say, this is what Allah has legislated. There's no end to this line of questioning. If we allowed ourselves to open up this door, it would never end. I add to this, what did Ali ibn Abi Talib say when they said, why do we wipe over the tops of our socks and not the bottoms of our socks? Right? He didn't answer the question, but he clarified that had the religion been based on aql, mere intellect alone, he said we would have wiped over the bottoms of our socks and not the tops of our socks. Logically, you say that's where you walk, that's where dirt would be, on the bottom of the sock. So logically, I would say I'm wiping over the bottom of my sock. But the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us that Allah is to be worshipped by acts of tahara, acts of purification. And from those acts of purification is that if you wipe over your footwear, that you wipe over the top part and not the bottom part. Right? Tayyib. So that line of questioning about logically why this and why that, it is an unending, ongoing discussion that would never give a person peace of mind, and he would always be subjecting himself to more and more doubts. May Allah Ta'ala save us from this kind of being busy with what doesn't benefit us. فَاسْتَدَلَّتْ. So Aisha used as a proof, رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهَا, may Allah be pleased with her, بِالْحُكْمِ عَلَى الْحِكْمَةِ. She said, the hukm itself proves that there's wisdom. The very ruling that we've been ordered to make up fasting, but we haven't been ordered to make up prayers for menstruating women in Ramadan, That itself means there's wisdom in it. Because it is Al-Hakim who legislated that. And that's how we worship Allah Ta'ala. لِأَنَّا نَعْلَمْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ حَكِيمٌ. Because we know that Allah is all-wise, عَزَّ وَجَلْ. فَلَمْ يُجِبْ عَلَيْهَا قَضَاءَ الصَّوْمِ. So Allah did not necessitate or oblige the women to make up their fasting, دُونَ قَضَاءِ الصَّلَاةِ, not their prayers, إِلَّا لِحِكْمَةٍ, only except for a wisdom. Meaning, again to rephrase that, the only reason Allah, or the only way we understand that Allah has required the women to make up their days of fasting and not their prayers from their menses, is that there is a wisdom behind that. لكن أحيانا, it is, however, sometimes, نعرف الحكمة وأحيانا لا نعرفها. However, sometimes we know the wisdom and sometimes we don't know the wisdom. لماذا أحل الله البيع وحرم الربا? Why is it that Allah has made business transactions in general permissible, but usury impermissible, right? نَقُولُ لِأَنَّ اللَّهَ أَحَلَّ الْبَيْعَ وَحَرَّمَ الْرِبَى. Because Allah has declared it like that, that business transactions are permissible and riba is haram. وَلِذَلِكَ لَمَّا قَالَ أَهْلُ الْرِبَى. And thus, when the people of usury, the people given into usury, when they said, إِنَّمَا الْبَيْعُ مِثْلُ الْرِبَى, they said, transactions are just like riba. رَدَّ اللَّهُ قَوْلَهُمْ فَقَالَ. Allah responded and said, وَأَحَلَّ اللَّهُ الْبَيْعَ وَحَرَّمَ الْرِبَى. That Allah has declared business transactions to be halal, and He has declared usury transactions to be impermissible, from Surah Al-Baqarah 275. And we'll pause to listen to the adhan. فَإِذَا حَكَمَ اللَّهُ بِشَيْءٍ شَرْعًا. So if Allah Ta'ala has decreed a matter legislatively, meaning as a legislative ruling, أَوْ حَكَمَ بِشَيْءٍ قَدَرًا, or that he has decided that something will take place as qadr, فَلَا يُشْكِلْ عَلَيْكُمْ, then don't let it be a problem for you. إِنْ وَفَّقَ اللَّهُ لِمَعْرِفَةِ الْحِكْمَةِ فَهَذَا خَيْرٌ. If Allah grants you success in understanding the reason or the wisdom behind it, then that's good. وَإِنْ لَمْ تَعْرِفْ فَعْلَمْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ حَكِيمٌ. And if you do not know, then you know that Allah is all-wise. وَلَهُ أَيْضًا الْحُكُمْ. And He has as well الْحُكُمْ, meaning the dominant rule. عَزَّ وَجَلْ, the mighty and majestic. قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى, Allah the Most High has said, إِنِ الْحُكْمُ إِلَّا لِلَّهِ, that the ruling, the right to rule is only for Allah. أَمَرَ أَن لَا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّهِ. He has ordered that you only worship Him. That's from Surah Yusuf, the 40th verse. مَنْ يَسْتَطِيعُ أَنْ يَرْفَعَ حُكْمَ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ فِيمَا إِذَا نَزَلَ بِهِ الْمَوْتِ. Who is able to repel the decision of Allah, the mighty and majestic, when He has sent down death for someone? لَا أَحَدْ, no one. قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى, Allah the Most High has said, فَلَوْلَا إِذَا بَلَغَتِ الْحُلْقُومِ. And no, once it reaches the collarbone or the esophagus, the windpipe, right? Meaning it is what? The soul. The soul is now leaving the body. It's the time of death. وَأَنْتُمْ حِينَ إِذٍ تَنْظُرُونَ. And at this time you are looking about. وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْكُمْ وَلَكِنْ لَا تُبْصِرُونَ. And we are closer to the windpipe, to the حُلْقُومِ, than you are, but you don't even see. فَلَوْلَا إِنْ كُنْتُمْ غَيْرَ مَدِينِينَ. And if it was the case that you are not in debt, تَرْجِعُونَهَا إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ, then return it. Try to repel this act of qadr. Try to put the soul back in the body of the person if you are indeed truthful. That's from Surah Al-Waqi'ah, the surah that we finished recently. لَا يُمْكِنُ. It's not possible for a person to repel Allah's order for the death of a person. لِأَنَّ اللَّهَ حَكَمَ بِهَذَا. Because Allah has ordered this to take place. وَإِذَا حَكَمَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ بِحُرُوبِ وَفِتَنِ. And if Allah Ta'ala, or if Allah the Majestic and Mighty has ordered, meaning in His Qadr, for wars to take place or for tribulations to happen, مَنْ يَرْفَعُ هَذَا إِلَّا اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. And who is going to remove this from the people except Allah the Mighty and Majestic? وَاللَّهُ تَعَالَى لَهُ الْحُكْمُ. And Allah is the one who has the absolute rule, في الأمور الشرعية, as it relates to legislative matters. قال الله تعالى, الله the Most High has said, وما اختلفتم فيه من شيء فحكمه إلى الله. And anything that you differ about, then the ruling is to go to Allah. From Surah Ash-Shura, the 10th verse, فَالْحُكْمُ لِلَّهِ. So rulings, legislative rulings, they are for Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. فَإِذَا عَرَفْتَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى لَهُ الْحِكْمَةُ فِي مَا شَرَعَ. So once you know that Allah, the Most High, has wisdom in what He legislates, وَفِي مَا خَلَقَ, in what He creates as well, وَقَدَّرَ, and what He has made as qadr, حِينَئِذٍ تَسْتَسْلِمُ وَلَا تُجَادِلُ, that in this case you will submit, meaning in servitude, and you will not be argumentative or inquisitive about why and what not. You will not be a person of argumentation. لِأَنَّ الَّذِي حَكَمَ بِذَلِكَ هُوَ اللَّهُ. Because the one who has ordered this thing or issued this decree, he is Allah. وَإِذَا عَلِمْتَ أَنَّ الْحُكْمَ لِلَّهِ. And once you know that the ruling is for Allah, the legislative rule is for Allah Azza wa Jal, the Mighty and Majestic, بَيْنَ الْعِبَادِ, amongst the, or between the servants, between the people, فَتَرْجِعُ فِي الْأُمُورِ الشَّرْعِيَّةِ. So then you return in issues of Islamic legislation, إِلَى الْكِتَابِ وَالسُّنَّةِ. You come back to the book and the sunnah. وَفِي الْأُمُورِ الْقَدَرِيَّةِ, and in the affairs of qadr, trials and tribulations that happen in the creation, تَرْجِعُ إِلَى اللَّهِ. You return back to Allah. فَإِذَا حَكَمَ عَلَيْكَ بِالْمَرَضِ تَفْزَعُ إِلَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ. If you have been, if it has been a decision from Allah that you would be afflicted with some illness, then you return back to Allah, you rush back to Allah, you flee to Allah. وَإِذَا حَكَمَ عَلَيْكَ بِالْفَقْرِ تَفْزَعُ إِلَى اللَّهِ. And if it has been the verdict from Allah that you would be tested with poverty, then you flee to Allah. اللهم أغنيني من الفقر. You say, oh Allah, give me wealth to keep me from being poor. وَقْضِ عَنِّي الدَّيْنِ, and take care of my debts or settle my debts for me. فَإِذَا آمَنَ الْإِنسَانُ. So when a person believes بِأَنَّ الْحُكْمَ كُلَّهُ لِلَّهِ, that the right to rule, the right to legislate is all for Allah, إِنْ كَانَ حُكْمًا قَدَرِيًا استسلم, as it relates to the rulings that Allah has set to take place within the creation, trials and tribulations and whatnot, he submits himself to them. قَالَ هَذَا أَمْرُ اللَّهِ. He says, this is the affair of Allah that he has ordered. وَأَنَا عَبْدُ اللَّهِ, and I am the worshipper of Allah. وَلَا يُمْكِنُ أَن يَكُونَ سِوَى مَا كَانَ, and there is no way for it to be other than what it is. وَإِذَا كَانَ شَرْعِيًّا, and if it is a legislative ruling, meaning halal and haram, then a person says, اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ أَعْلَمُ. Allah, the Mighty and Majestic, is most knowledgeable. وَأَحْكَمْ, and best in rule, بِمَا يُصْلِحُ الْعِبَادِ, regarding the affairs that would correct or bring about goodness for his servants. Now, one point that when a person confronts the qadr, to add here to what the Shaykh has said, and we'll stop at this point, to add one point, that is, he submits to the qadr. What does he say specifically from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he is faced with a calamity? He says, the first thing, inna lillahi, we are the property of Allah, wa inna ilayhi raji'un, and we are all returning back to Allah, meaning for judgment, right? So then this reminds a person right away, I'm going back to Allah, and he's going to hold me accountable for my actions. So when a calamity happens, I cannot be like those people who just mouth off and say anything or do anything in a calamity. I'm going back to Allah. He reminds himself that his loss was something that Allah has taken back, meaning the life of a person or a beloved person has been lost or something. That is the right of Allah to take back a soul like that. And I will also go back to Allah. So I have to be careful of what I say at this time. Right? What else does he say? اللهم أجرني في مصيبتي. Oh Allah, give me ajr in my musiba, in my calamity. واخلف لي خيرا منها, and give me better than it. Right? اللهم أجرني في مصيبتي واخلف لي خيرا منها. It's the hadith of Umm Salama رضي الله عنها, as found in Sahih Muslim, that she said, she was taught by the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, at the time of Alas, when she lost her husband specifically, she was instructed by the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to make this dua, Allahumma ajirni fi musibati. Oh Allah, give me ajr in this loss. Right? Or it could mean as well, give me protection through this loss. The al-jiwar, right? And replace what I have lost with what is better. And replace what I have lost with what is better. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught her that no one says that upon a calamity except that Allah replaces for that person what they have lost with what is better. Right? And so it was the case, Umm Salama, she lost her beloved husband, radiyallahu anhu, Abu Salama. And then eventually who did she marry? She married the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and of course her rank and status was raised from the general body of the Sahaba to an Ummahat al-Mu'mineen, from the mothers of the believers, radiyallahu anha. And through that you can see that Allah, while a woman would not imagine what would be better for her than the husband that she just lost, she was given that which was better for her in this life and the next life, marriage to the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So with that, we remind ourselves, in calamity, in loss, right? We also can say from the hadith of the strong believer, وَإِنْ أَصَابَكَ شَيْءٌ, when something befalls you, فَلَا تَقُلْ, do not say. Here's something you do not say. لَوْ أَنِّي فَعَلْتُ كَذَا لَكَانَ كَذَا وَكَذَا. Had I only done a different thing, then the different result would have happened. Like what people say, right? Why did I go out that day? They got into a car accident. I should have stayed at home. As if to say, if I would have stayed at home, I could not have gotten into that car accident. This is the exact thing we've been forbidden from. Because right at the end, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَإِنَّ لَوْ تَفْتَحُ عَمَلَ الشَّيْطَانِ. Right? Because this low, only if this happened, it opens up the work of the shaytan. So do say, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. We are the property of Allah and we are all returning to Him. And do not say, had I only done something else, had I only made a different decision, had I only just did something else, then a different result would have happened. I wouldn't be facing this loss right now. هَذَا وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ وَصَلِّ اللَّهُمَّ وَسَلِّمْ وَبَارِكْ عَلَى نَبِيَّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَىٰ آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ. Any questions, concerns, or corrections? سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك.